Are you ready to begin the program?
This is going to be great. This is going to be great.
When are you moving to Canada, by the way?
I'm going to miss next week's show. I'll be in Toronto.
Yeah, I know. You're moving to Toronto.
I'm not moving to Toronto. I'm going to be back and forth.
No, it's okay. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm just missing 1 week. You can handle 1 week.
A lot of wealthy celebrities have threatened to move to Canada.
Has anyone moved to Canada?
Well, Ellen DeGeneres moved somewhere.
That was reason enough to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
Getting rid of Bette Midler.
Did she move elsewhere?
That should have been Trump's campaign slogan. He should have played her pledge.
So you're moving to Toronto?
In every commercial.
How do your kids and wife feel about the big move?
I'm just going for a week. Dear God, son. You can handle
the
week.
Not what you told me.
Wait, what's going to happen next week on Wednesday? On Wednesday afternoon? What are we doing? What are you doing?
Well, you told me that you could Skype in from Toronto, your new home.
Okay. I can do that.
And I'm still looking for clips, 7-second delay clips. I've gotten some really good ones. Thank you to everybody who has sent them to me.
And then you're going
to
paste them together?
I think February 12th. You told me that you'd be available to Skype in for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, for the love of God. I don't know. Wait, hold on.
I mean, your story's always changing.
You want me to
changing.
Look
at...
Well,
no, not
changing.
Right now. No. You don't need... Don't look at your schedule right
shut
now.
Shut up. Hold on.
So tonight we have as our very special guest... Professor Elena Rozlogova.
Hold on.
Concordia.
I got to write it down. I'm so bad with names. From Roz. I've got to write it phonetically.
Rozlogova. It's right here. See it right there? There's where
okay.
it is.
So she's a professor.
Yes.
She's a doctor, but she doesn't like to be called up.
Welcome, Elena.
Welcome, Elena.
Thanks. Hi. Happy to be here.
Are you really?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yes, really I am.
What's that like? I can only imagine. Imagine being here and being happy to be here.
And Elena is writing a book about the history of WFMU, which also goes a lot into the history of Freeform Radio.
Yeah, well, we should list her credits. She didn't just wander in off the street in Jersey City.
No, not at all.
Where are you currently on the faculty?
Concordia University in Montreal, in Canada.
Perfect. And what are you teaching there?
Media history, various classes, music, radio.
And then how did you discover FMU, and how did it become the subject of your book?
I have a friend, David Sussman, who was he was a DJ here, and he told me about his show, and I started listening to it, and I listened to the show by David about 15 years without listening to any other show, and then I started writing about the station and listening to more of it.
You know David's show, Andy. Inner Ear Detour.
You're just making up these names. There's no such person.
It does exist, yes.
Okay.
He's a music historian, very famous.
Oh, okay, perfect. So so you got turned on to the station, and then you gradually started listening to the rest of the
Yeah,
the
so
schedule.
I listened to Ken's Next, which was different, very different from David's.
Oh, you're so kind. What a sweet, kind woman. Yes, Ken, you do a very different show.
I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, of course. You'd have to work hard to take it as a compliment, but I'm sure you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now I'm listening to all of it.
Oh, now you're listening to all of it and writing about all of it. And who will be publishing this book?
I don't know publish it yet. I'm in talks with various publishers.
Perfect. And do you have a working title?
I wanted to name it Freeform or Death, but I was advised against it. Because,
why?
Because it's already on the internet, because the documentary was called that.
Oh, the documentary was very close to that. It wasn't exactly that.
Yeah, that was the working title for the documentary.
Yeah.
Freeform or Death is great.
I think it's great.
No, you
I think
take
we should
that.
Take it.
What? Listen, I can tell you from my limited experience, you'd just be paralyzed if you look for titles or ideas or plots that have never been done. You'll be paralyzed. Freeform or Death, grab it. That's fantastic.
Okay.
And then, wait, let me cross my fingers before I ask you this next question. Who will the book be dedicated to? Have you decided yet?
No.
What are the odds, would you say right now, that it's dedicated to me?
Not very high at the moment. Maybe by the end of the show.
I'd say very poor to poor.
Fine. Okay, at least you're honest about
it. Yeah.
Fine. Just so you know, I have had a book dedicated to me.
So Andy...
And I bought, by the way, let me just finish. I was so excited and honored, I bought 450,000 copies. Anyway, you decide. Okay. You decide. You make up your mind later.
What was that book? What was the book that was dedicated to you?
I did have a book dedicated to me.
What was it? What was the title?
It was a biography of the science fiction author Ray Bradbury.
Okay.
It was like a young adult version of it by Wendy Bass, who was a friend of mine.
A young adult version?
A young adult biography of Ray Bradbury. Okay. But it meant the world to me. 450,000 copies.
And why did she dedicate it to you? You helped
her. I was a big fan of Ray Bradbury, and maybe I inspired the book or turned her on to Ray Bradbury. I don't remember.
Nice.
But I remember it meant a lot to me. Anyway, you make your decision.
Okay,
it's a personal decision.
Do you want to sign the contract now?
No, I don't have a contract. So this is fantastic. We have a grown-up, real-life author researching and writing about the book. Ken, I imagine, is the hero of this story.
No.
What?
No.
It's about the station. The station is the hero.
Ken, but isn't the station isn't the station the embodiment of isn't Ken Friedman the spirit of the station?
No.
Would you agree that there wouldn't be a station
in
2025?
Yes, it's true. The station would not be here without Ken because of Ken the station ended
That's
up.
That's my definition of hero. We wouldn't be here.
Of course he's a hero in the book.
The station was formed as it is, as a freeform station, before I ever came along.
But there were 100 freeform stations. 99 of them are gone, right? They're history.
Yes.
This one is the last one standing. There's a reason this one's the last one standing.
No, there are still freeform stations. There's several, quite a few net stations at the freeform.
Oh, that's the lame. Oh, they're so lame. You mean they're...
It's
National Public Radio? You
no.
mean that, but they all get grants from their universities?
No, not National
they're
Public
funded
Radio.
By, but look,
they're
FMU,
funded by who?
FMU was funded by a university until 1994.
But now FMU look at us. Now look at us. We're out of the nest. We're flapping our wings. Look at us go.
Anyway, Ken saved the station, but he didn't make it. People in the 60s made the station.
Okay, fine. He's not the hero. Boy, you're tough. This is a tough room.
All right, well, Elena, what would you like to find out from listeners? I know you're interested in talking to especially the listeners who were listening to the station in the 60s and 70s.
I think what we can do for Elena, for Professor Rose Lagova, Dr. Rose Lagova. Do you like doctor or a professor?
Rose
Lagova. I like Elena.
Elena?
Elena is my favorite.
I like doctor. By the way, I'm he, him. What are your pronouns, Ken?
Same.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Woo! He him, baby. Okay. We rock. You know who else he him? Bruce Springsteen.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Bruce Springsteen.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him, says the college professor, scared to death of this subject.
Good for them.
Good for them, yeah. Okay. So I think what would help, what maybe would be beneficial, correct me if I'm wrong, doctor, is if people called and suggested topics that they would like to read about or learn about or questions they have about the station that they'd love to be included in your
That would be really
research.
Nice because I have a plan already for the book and most of it is written. But if you want something in particular to be in it, it would be great.
If you have
to
a question about WFMU or if you'd like to learn more about it and or you'd like to find it in the book in Freeform or Death, Freeform or Die. God, that's a good title.
Freeform or Death.
Oh, yeah, of course, that's better. Yeah,
but from an SEO point of view, not a great title because it still exists on the internet as the name of a movie.
But almost every movie has a title that has been used previously.
But there's
and
a
the
reason.
Titles are,
there's
titles,
a reason,
you can't copyright
Andy,
a title.
There's a reason why you didn't call Monk Murder, She Wrote. Is there not?
No, but Murder, She Wrote is a real show, whereas Freeform or Death is a great title that was dropped
by
the director.
It was aborted. Yeah, he aborted
It's abandoned.
By the way, I haven't researched this, but I know there were other shows or movies or books called Monk. There had to be. Certainly other characters called Monk. There was a...
Have a call.
What?
We have a call.
Okay, then, Professor, just say, thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Say you're on the air.
You're on the air.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, it didn't work.
Let's try that
That's
again.
Just a taste. That's just a taste, Professor, of the kind of fun we have
Hi,
every
you're
week.
On the air.
Will there be a section on Danny Fields?
Yes, for sure. I interviewed Danny Fields, and he was very generous, and there will be a whole chapter in the 60s where he will be one of the main characters.
Who the hell is Danny Fields?
Danny Fields is the pioneer of rock promotion. He's a publicist and a manager who signed Iggy Pop and The Stooges and MC5 to Elektra. And without him, they wouldn't have the career they had. And then
he became manager of the Ramones.
Yes, exactly.
And what did he do on FMU?
He was a DJ.
Did you ever meet him, Ken?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a very, very nice guy.
Yeah, he came on FMU in 2008, I think, during the special shows for
the anniversary. Yeah, and then he showed up for a showing of the documentary about him, Danny Says.
Will there be more about Danny Fields in this book than there would be about me?
Right now there is more, but when you give me an interview,
it
who
never
knows?
Ends. I can't stand it.
Well, you haven't said yes to an interview.
We're at 201-209-9368. We're talking to Professor Ross Lagova.
Yeah, Roz.
Roz.
Just like it's spelled.
Well, I never asked how it's spelled. Roz Lagova.
It's right there. Hi, you're on the air.
Roz Lagova.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks for calling. You love the show. They don't know they're on the air.
Yeah, something does seem like it's not right.
Is it just that one line?
Maybe.
Why don't you keep that line occupied so the calls go to the other line?
A fine idea, Andy.
That's why I'm here.
You should be in charge. Phone number is 201.
Finally.
209-9368.
And just call that number if for no other reason to test out our phone bank. 201-209-9368. Let's see what else would I like to read about in this book?
Yeah, what do you want to hear about, Andy?
I guess I'd like to hear is there someone who is considered the first FMU DJ? Who put FMU together? Originally, whose brainchild was it?
Well, the Lou D'Antonio was the earliest freeform DJ on FMU. He wasn't freeform when he started, but he became freeform.
This
later.
Is at the college?
Yes, at the
college. Was he associated? Was he on staff at the college?
I don't think so.
No.
No, he was a teacher, but he wasn't a teacher at FMU. And Vince Kelza is the first DJ who started Freeform on FMU in 1967.
Oh, I know that name.
In November. And he took over the station, and he started firing people who didn't do Freeform and hiring people who did.
Oh, there you go. What year was that?
68. Early 68.
Is he still with us, Vince Kelza?
Yeah, he is.
Did you interview him?
Yes.
We have another call.
I guess my line's been busy. I guess you haven't interviewed me. How many DJs and people have you interviewed so far?
About 80.
Oh, shut up. So I'd be 81?
Yes.
I'd be number 81?
Yes. But you're not a DJ. You're a comedian.
Am I not a DJ, Ken?
Well, you don't play records, so, I mean, technically, you're
What
not.
Am I doing here, Ken?
You're a talk show host.
Here's all I know. You take my money when I write you a check.
Yeah, you're a host.
Yeah.
A disc jockey kind of implies somebody who plays records.
Fine.
Hi, you're on the air. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, I know, man. Make it work, Ken. Ken.
I'm trying, man.
Ken, professor drove all the... took a train all the way from Montreal.
I know. We did get a call, so... hi, you're on the air.
We hope. Hello.
Ken, Andy.
Hey, it's working.
Hi, say hello to Professor Roz Lagova.
Hi there.
Hello, Professor Roz Lagova.
Hi, Zachary.
Hey. I'm not sure if you're also doing a supplemental photo book, but...
Will there be photos in the book?
There would be illustrations in the book.
Illustrations, but are any photos?
Yeah, some of them will be photos. Are you okay. recommending certain photos? Let me know.
Are you
asking? I think the WFMU DJs and personalities, their tattoos.
Okay.
Would be really monumental because tattoos, just ask Andy, they're a historical nexus of this show especially.
And they're a window into the soul.
Okay, that must be...
Right.
A lot of people say that the eyes are the window into the soul, but the eyes of most DJs are just dead.
So what do you mean is tattoos that were made on certain bodies during the marathon? That's the plan.
No, not just that.
Just tattoos in general. They're a big part of WFMU.
Yeah, there are a lot of staff tattoos.
Yeah.
That's true.
That would be an interesting montage.
Thanks, Zachary.
Okay, cool. I will think about that.
Yeah, that's a no. That's a Hollywood no. That's how you say no in Hollywood. I will think about that.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
My name is Dan.
Dan. We'll call you Dan.
Dan S.
Yeah, so, Dan S. Thanks for calling. Dan, we have Professor Roz Lagova, the author of Free Form or Death, with us.
Yes, I have maybe two questions. You can choose between them. One is kind of serious, one kind of frivolous. So the serious one
Take the serious one.
So I know that WFMU survived the demise. It was, you know, a college station that survived the demise of the college it was attached to. And I was wondering, is it unique in that? Has any other college radio station ever survived the demise of the college it was part of?
There was another station that actually collaborated. I think it went separate from the college before FMU, and I'm blanking on the letters.
Oh, it's WPKN.
WPKN.
PKN, yes. In Bridgeport, Connecticut, where Dave the Spaz and Irwin both used to do shows there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now let's hear the serious question.
Yeah, so the other question is, will your book deal with the controversial topic of the jazz police and their role with WFMU?
It's a good question. I'm guessing you just listened to Irvin's show, perhaps?
Yes. That's how I came up with that question.
Yes.
I will admit that. I have to credit Irwin for that.
Yeah, exactly. There will be lots of stuff about jazz and jazz police as a category, but...
No, of course, I know that reference, but some of our listeners might not know what jazz police refers to. Why don't you inform them?
Me?
Yeah.
It's from a song by...
Oh, a song. Oh.
Can't help me. Leonard Cohen?
Oh, it's Leonard Cohen?
Yeah, I think there have been a couple of different songs that reference the Jazz Police.
Jazz Police is a reference?
A private security force that not only makes sure that we're playing some jazz, but also that we're playing the right kind of jazz.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. They're just purists.
Yes.
Yeah, I see. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
God save us from them. Okay.
The phones are working, Andy. There's nothing wrong with the phones.
Okay. So let me apologize now.
Mm-hmm.
The phones apparently are working.
Okay.
There's nothing we can do about it. We've tried to sabotage it. We've been pulling cords all the afternoon.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for calling. You love the show.
Oh, I do love it. I'm Bill in Silver Spring, Maryland. And I'd like to know, has the hound Jim Marshall been back since he was let go? And if he has not, would you allow him to come back if he apologized?
Well, that's a question for Ken.
Well, let's say it was your decision, Professor.
First, I don't think Jim Marshall will ever apologize. And I think both Ken and Jim Marshall are the kind of people
who
are not going to be.
You don't want to get on the wrong side.
But I do want to say that I interviewed Jim Marshall, and he was very generous with his memories.
And
what the hell does that mean?
And he has been back on the air since he was fired.
Oh, he has?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah, he has. Yeah, here. Yep.
Why was he fired?
Obscenity, I think, was the reason.
You couldn't stop cursing at him? You mean every time you see him, you just have this urge to curse?
Exactly.
Yeah. But has he apologized?
No, he probably doesn't think he has anything to apologize for.
Oh, apologies are so easy. Just hello, I'm sorry.
That's Jesus. About right. Thanks for answering the question, and hopefully he'll come back one more time.
Yeah. Okay.
He does have his own channel. I think you can hear stuff. I don't know if he's still doing live radio.
Not anymore. He hasn't updated it for like 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Right, but then his all of his old shows are available online, and you can just start listening again, starting in, like, 1980s.
Yeah, thehound.net has all his old archives.
Yeah, and they're actually helpfully annotated by Brian Redman, who's a big fan, and you know, and you can tell what the songs are. So it's actually much more convenient than listening to the new shows, because the old ones are so well annotated.
Thehound.net. I can find him on WFMU.
Yeah, you know when I
no thehound.net is a separate website.
Thank you.
Website,
it doesn't matter.
But thanks for the call.
Not, thank you. Goodbye. You know when I invited the professor to take the train down?
Yeah.
I didn't. It didn't occur to me that the show would have nothing to do with me.
You
it
mean?
Never
oh,
even
no.
occurred to
well,
me.
Well, no, you should just.
It's
keep,
just dawning on me now.
Keep inserting yourself into it.
You're talking about people I've never met, people I'm not interested in meeting. There's a guy that won't apologize. Apparently. There's another guy that's now on the, doing streaming on the internet, but he hasn't been doing it for 2 years.
Yeah,
these people mean nothing to me. This is.
You could give out the phone number.
Fine. 201-209-9368. So Professor Roz Lagova is here. She's writing a book about FMU. Anything you wanted to include, this is your chance, right? You're not coming back. I mean, you'll be finished the book pretty soon, right?
Yes, it's very close to be finished.
Very close. So this is it. The book's about to close out.
And the phone number is 201-209-9368. Listener Matt from Springfield just pointed out that Goddard College in Vermont just recently survived, or the radio station of Goddard College, WGDR, survived the closing of Goddard.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You mean they bought the license from the school?
Yeah. The college went bankrupt or closed down, and they survived.
Ken, was there one moment where you realized you could buy the license from Uppsala College? Do you remember? I mean, was it like a eureka sort of moment?
Not really. No, I mean...
It was always sort of in the back of your mind that it was a plan B?
It was pretty clear that the college was going down the tubes very early on after I was...
I don't even think it could afford the tubes.
No, they couldn't.
They were just going down.
Yeah, they couldn't afford the tubes. There was one moment when I realized that there's no question that this place is closing.
Yeah, and, was it while you were racing as fast as you could to your parked car at 8 p.m.?
No, but that was there was a staff-faculty meeting as the college was in financial distress. And at this particular meeting, all the professors were complaining that they had no paper. They had no blank paper. There was no blank paper anywhere on campus.
That's not good. That's not a good sign for a college.
And people were saying, like, you know, what are we going to do? And the president of the college, the only answer he had for what are we going to do was they were going to be able to borrow money, I don't know, like 10 cents on the dollar on unpaid student tuition. And that's when I realized, like, okay, there's no longer any question in my mind.
That you can't quite take that to the bank, can you?
Yeah.
Okay, Professor, say you're on the air.
You're on the air.
Hello there. Nice to meet you, Professor Lagova, and I love the show.
Good.
Thanks. Who's this?
Nice to meet
this
you.
This is Jefferson, Carl Sagan.
Hi, Jefferson.
Hi.
And I just had a question for the professor. I always kind of struggle with my spiel when I am describing WFMU to people and trying to kind of bring them into the cult, sell them on it. But I'm curious, and maybe you guys were going to get to this. What was your pitch and why... Is FMU? Why do you think FMU is such a special thing, and to focus on that, and write an entire book about it? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, it's pretty much like what I say. It's the most consequential American cultural institution currently in operation that's funded entirely by its audience, and there's no other institution like that in America, and there hasn't been for some time. I also stress that it's the only radio station that I know of that even refuses underwriting, because most stations, even college stations, and well, college stations are funded in part by universities, but a lot of independent stations accept underwriting. And then the main thing, of course, is eclectic music programming. It's the most adventurous station out there.
Ken, if we accepted underwriting, would it be? Would we play better music?
No.
Oh, then, yeah, might as well not. Yeah. Okay.
But that's the reason why you don't accept underwriting, right? It's not for like, ideological reasons. It's because you don't want to be controlled.
It's that we don't want to be controlled, but it's also aesthetic. It's just I hate the sound of commercials. And, you know, I just don't want anything that even resembles a commercial on the air.
You know what I say to people? I say 91.1, listen to it. If you don't like what you hear, just wait 5 minutes, and you'll hear something you hate even more.
Exactly.
Definitely true.
Yes.
You got to wait 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
You got to wait for things to bottom out and then bounce back.
Oh, bouncing back. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great someday to bounce back? 201-209-9368. The doctor's writing a book about FMU. What would you like?
Our guest is Professor Elena Rozlogova.
It's Rozlogova, Ken. Yes. Rozlogova.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Of Concordia University, who's the WFMU historian, and she's writing a book about the history of WFMU. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I hope that you get the help you need.
Thank you. That's our little catchphrase.
Doctor.
Wow, I hope the same thing.
I hope you get the help I need.
I hope he gets the help you need.
Hey, Professor Elena, will there be a chapter in the book dedicated, or I would believe at least a chapter, he's worthy of a chapter, Glenn Jones and the touchstone that he's been to the station, starting the week off, and all of the different versions of the shows that have been X-Ray Burns, for a brief period of time by himself, now with The Broad. I think you could get a good chapter's worth, and I'm hoping that he's worthy of a mention in the book, a solid mention in the book.
Oh, well, for sure he's really important for the station. He's a long-term DJ. He has a following of his own, and they're, I believe, called something. There's like a cabal of people who are
following. The IBJ.
The
International Brotherhood of Jonesy.
And I imagine you are part of that brotherhood.
Yes,
ma'am. So definitely... he is an important player, and I don't know about a chapter, but there's definitely will be lots. And also, X-Ray is somebody that a lot of DJs I interviewed and a lot of listeners whom I talk to loved him, including I interviewed a leftist economics commentator, radio commentator, who's pretty prominent, and he loved X-Ray. So he really reached people across political lines. And
yeah,
even though
X-Ray was a conservative Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely write about that, and I'm also planning to write a lot about popular music on FMU, because people think that FMU DJs don't play popular music, which is completely untrue, and he is one example of DJs who plays lots of popular
music.
Indeed.
All right, best wishes with the book, and thank you for your time, ma'am.
All right,
thanks for your call.
Ken, what are our listeners called?
We haven't named them, Andy, but we can.
Tim and Ronnie. That's what I call them.
No, we have more than two.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Pam and Sam?
Yeah, Pam and Sam. That's our cabal.
What about Pete Gardener?
Yeah, Pam and Sam and Pete.
And Zachary?
Yeah, Pam, Sam, and Zachary. Yeah.
And exactly. Hero?
Yeah, okay. So that's what we'd call our little cabal. Pam, Sam, Zachary, Pete, and Hero.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks for calling.
This is Marie in Chicago.
Hi, Marie.
Why don't you let the professor take over, Ken?
Hi. Hi, Marie.
Oh, hello. I was just wondering if you're going to be writing, like some of the DJs have done amazing stunts over the years to fundraise and just for various reasons, and I was wondering if you're going to discuss any of those.
I will discuss. There's so many. I'm not even sure which ones are going to make it. Glenn Jones' stunt will be in it when he was broadcasting for the Guinness Prize.
Yeah.
But then there's so many others. And actually, yes, in the very beginning of the book, actually, there is right now, which may change, there's a story about Ken and Stashu appearing with green underwear on their heads to try get some people to donate.
I think Ken tried to float himself up on a balloon or something.
That happened too. Oh, and also a lot of cases when people would play covers for 3 hours, trying to get people to pay to stop playing terrible covers. That's also very interesting.
Yeah. What's his name? Kenny G did some amazing things too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, so Kenny G and Vicky Bennett tied each other up. I don't know if that was for fundraising or not, but that's definitely going to be in the book.
Oh, okay, yeah, hopefully it wasn't anything kinky. Just kidding. Okay.
No, it wasn't.
Thank you.
Okay.
Boy, this FMU sounds like a wild, wild
Thanks,
place.
Marie.
I've got to listen to more of this FMU. How can I find it on the dial, on the radio dial?
You tell me.
Well, I'm looking. I'm looking right at the cheat sheet.
What's it say?
911.
91.1.
Isn't that the number you dial also when the bad men are coming in your bedroom window?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, what are the odds of that being the same
There's
three
a
numbers?
Reason for that.
Exactly.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, say hello to the professor.
Hi there.
Hi, professor. I hope you get the help I need.
I hope so.
I really love Kenny G and some of the other artists that have been at FMU, and I really hope you cover them in your book.
Well, what are the other artists? Kenny G is definitely going to be in the book.
I know Vicky Bennett was a part there. Burgie, who was a DJ for some time.
Okay.
And now we have Naomi Shamble, who I know has an artist residency. I think she's at the artist residency. So it'd be cool to see some more. I'm sure they're not the only ones, but those are just the ones that I can name off the top of my head.
Well, you should be very happy to hear that that the professor was just typing down some names, taking notes as you talked.
Yes, I definitely was taking notes. I haven't interviewed Naomi yet, but I interviewed Vicky and Kenny G, and they're definitely.
Now, will there be room for them important. In the book after you finish with my chapter?
A little bit, if you page
my
it.
Chapter. She's talked to 80 people, Ken. Haven't even heard from her.
Yeah.
Well, she's scared of you.
The mindset of FMU, as well as those, have definitely hit a chord with myself and my own artistic practice. So it'd be cool to see some more of them.
And for that, you will never forgive them.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for
Thank
that recommendation.
Andy, I would say you have nobody to blame but yourself because you're so intimidating. Elena, have you been intimidated to ask Andy?
Of course. I'm completely intimidated.
Why?
I was told that the... You don't answer questions seriously, which makes total sense because you're a comedian.
Yeah, what else did people tell you about Andy, Elena?
No, please, you don't have to. Wait a minute.
No, Elena's spoken to so many people. Go ahead.
I can't believe my name's ever come up.
How did people warn you off of Andy? That's what
Okay, I can tell a good story. So I interviewed some listeners who adore Andy.
Uh-huh.
And I actually thought that I should interview more listeners of the show in case my sense of humor is not enough. I would just interview maybe 50 fans, and they would tell me why the show is funny. And they told me that the first 10 minutes are usually the funniest. Like, can you tell me why? Because that's not what they found.
Wow.
That's not been your experience?
No, my experience is entirely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the first 10 minutes are the funniest. Andy intentionally starts the show with really down, you know, negative energy.
It's also slow.
Exactly. It's slow. Like he refuses to start the show with any enthusiasm whatsoever.
Because I'm not a liar, Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome. Congratulations. You just met an honest man. I'm not going to start the show with enthusiasm. Jen, if I ever do, will you promise to shoot me? 201-209-9368. That would be the end for me.
Maybe I should start in my interview right now.
No, I don't. I would be happy to sit down with you. And I would be happy to take it semi-seriously.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for calling. I want to introduce you to my new friend, Professor Razlagova.
Hi. This is Julia from Ridgewood.
Hi, Julia.
I know you. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Lena. Julia.
You know her, too?
Привет, привет.
Привет. А теперь, Лена, между нами девочки.
Hey. I'm talking to both of you. You're in America.
Well, you have to be quiet.
That she can't eat Andy.
No. This is
they're allowed to speak in Russian to each other.
We can speak. There was a question. I didn't hear it.
Лена, между нами девочками, честно мне скажи теперь, между нами, что ты думаешь о передаче Кена и Энди?
Да.
It was a question of what I think about the show. I love the show. I love the show, especially when I'm on the show.
We only have your word for that that's what she was saying.
Yeah, go on. Talk some more about Andy in Russian.
Окей, хорошо. Значит, мне очень нравится, что я здесь нахожусь. Это вообще отлично.
Нет, вопрос был про Andy.
That is so true.
О, про типа эстетики, да?
Да.
Окей.
It doesn't matter.
Basically...
Just having two women talking about me, I don't care what they're saying. I'm so excited and grateful.
So the question was not that me liking being on the show, but what I think about the aesthetics of the comedy that you represent. Yeah. And I have to say, I still have to study a few shows to understand it, because I feel like the more depressed or tired is Ken, the better the show is, which is very interesting, because you basically interrupt him a lot more when he's tired, and then kind of gang up on Ken, and that makes the show even funnier.
I think, you know what my favorite moments are? I love the fact that Ken's the boss here.
Okay.
And so when I confront Ken or nudge Ken or lovingly, you know, kind of tease Ken, it makes it that much sweeter for me, because he's the boss. And because then I'm punching, in comedy, the term is you're punching up.
Oh, okay.
And also, he's just such a ridiculous figure.
He's funny, too, I think.
Early on, we had a marriage counselor on, or a therapist, and he pointed out that we have, dueling dominances, like that I'm Andy's boss, but Andy's, the funnier one. So,
but I don't care enough. I don't care enough to defer to him. You should see the toadies around here. It's pathetic. And that, people crawling up his butt all day long.
Is it something like George Sand used to say, let him think that he decides?
Yes, exactly. we keep up that facade here. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
How do you say thank you in Russian?
Спасибо.
I don't think that's it, no.
That's it.
Большое спасибо.
No, that's not it.
Спасибо.
Try close. It, Andy. You're close. No, that's not it. All right, we'll try again. Thanks very much for calling me.
Thank you so much. Спасибо большое.
Two women talking about me in Russian. That kind of excited me.
I bet you it did.
Yeah, it kind of did. Yeah. Anyone talking about me in any language kind of excites me.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Joe from New York. I was wondering if there's going to be a lot of Joe Belock in the book.
There will be Joe Belock in the book for sure. I interviewed him, and he's been around for quite a while, so definitely. And he also is good. Is a good example of somebody who also plays pop, popular music, and doesn't like. WFMU has a reputation of being an elitist radio station among some people who don't listen to it. And I want to dislodge that reputation, because that's not true. There's lots of experimental music and lots of obscure music and lots of difficult music. But FMU covers everything, including pop as well.
Yeah, Andy's almost single-handedly responsible for that bad reputation.
Well, we do our show for people who matter. That's our name. Right, Kenny?
Yeah. 7 second delay.
Yeah.
The show for people who matter.
Now, Professor, if you were going to tease one little anecdote, if you wanted to boost your sales among our listeners, how would you tease this book? Little revelation, a little story.
Well, the one thing that I found out that people here didn't know is how successful FMU was in the 60s. And they put up this really unique fundraising marathon at Cafe Ogogo in the village that lasted for 3 days nonstop. And it was not announced anywhere, but it included major bands, like the Fugs were there, and a lot of bands from San Francisco.
Quicksilver Messenger Service?
Yeah, Quicksilver Messenger Service. And maybe 10 genres were represented. There were Frank Wright, who is a free jazz musician, was there too. There were some unknown bands. There were some known bands. And this was unique. And Billboard magazine wrote about that.
Wow.
And there's a great record of it, audio record of it, specifically the Fugs playing. And Ed Sanders calls FMU...
Communist ape smut.
So that's.
So
really cool.
That was a famous fundraiser, huh?
Hey, you guys. You know, we still have Joe on the line.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Hey, Joe.
No, Joe's
on. Yeah, no, I'm still here. So now, Joe. Now I have another record to go.
Yeah, Joe. You might want to know that we have other people named Joe on the air as well. We have a Joe Magasco.
Joe Magasco.
Yes. We have a Joe Duffy. It's not just all Joe Belock. We've got several Joes.
Well, you'll read all about it in Chapter 5 called A Gaggle of Joes.
Right after Chapter 1.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks very much. Thanks, Joe. 201-209-9368. We're talking to Professor Razlogova, who is writing about this station. I guess she's going to find a publisher. She's going to find a title, and maybe it'll be dedicated to me.
Somebody suggested a name for the book as well. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, say hello to Dr. Razlogova.
Hi there.
Hello to Dr. Razlogova.
And what's your question?
It's something I've been wondering for some time. I've tried to find out on the message board, but I've never been able to. I only tried once, but anyway, I wonder if it'll come up in the book how or why KFJC is dubbed with WFMU as sister stations. How and why did that come to be?
Huh. They had an April 1st moment when they swapped frequencies, so people would tune in to KFJC and they would listen to WFMU instead, and that was very confusing for people. And there were several other cases. So Ken, how did that start?
We've collaborated with them a couple of different times, both on the air and off the air, and we just became friendly with them. Especially our old music director and program director Brian Turner, you know, had a pretty close relationship.
No one cares.
With people at KFJC.
No one cares.
Yeah.
No, I'm just telling you right now. No one cares. Even the guy that asked the question. I'm telling you this as a fact.
I trust you.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Brian Turner was that link.
Yeah, it was
Brian Turner with that link. Thanks for calling.
Link.
You're right about that, Brian Turner. Thanks for pointing that out. We've learned a lot. You've given us a lot to think about. Goodbye.
Oh, he's long gone. Anyway.
Yeah. No, he's gone. I don't think he's long gone.
Yeah. So yeah. You'd prefer to have women talking about you in a foreign language.
I'll take it. Okay. Right now, I'll take it.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, wait a minute. That's our show for next week. Girls calling, talking about me in a foreign language.
Okay.
I would look forward to that all week.
Okay, we can do that.
You know who could do that? My wife. She's fluent in French.
In French, okay.
Amazing.
Yeah.
No problem finding another French-speaking woman.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking forward to that.
Great.
Doctor, you could call and speak in Russian.
I could. I could call and speak in French, too.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Okay. Beth will call and talk to you. Hi, thanks for calling. Let me introduce you to Dr. Razlogova.
Hi there.
Welcome. Hi.
Oh, what's your question?
This is Evan from Montclair.
Hi, Evan.
I have a couple of quick questions. My first is, if your book was turned into a movie, who would play Ken and Andy?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Really? You think that's a good question? Do you really?
I think it's a bad question?
Yeah, that's a terrible question.
Okay. I would say that there are a few chapters that I thought could be good movies, for sure.
Well,
Andy would be played by Paul Giamatti.
That would be great.
I was kind of hoping, and I didn't expect this to come up, I was kind of hoping that I'd be played by Ken. It would be kind of unusual casting. Call it stunt casting.
I don't really know. What about you? Whom do you want to play?
I think Ken should play me, and then Scatman Carruthers should play Ken. I would pay money to see that. I wouldn't pay a lot. I would wait till like the Tuesday matinee.
Okay, Evan, what's your other question?
All right. Well, one more serious question. One is, who has raised the most total money in the history of WFMU? Not in one year, but in vast history of the show.
It must be Nahum.
Oh, it must be Nahum.
Yeah, it's got to be Nahum.
Nahum Siegel for sure.
Yep.
Because he logged 20 hours, right? And 20 years here, right?
Oh, 30 years.
30 years here.
Yeah. And he had a huge following, so it would be him.
Yeah.
And, okay, and my last question is, I remember first visiting the station back, I guess, in the really early 90s. And I remember that the Joe Frank tapes were kept under lock and key because the DJs were stealing them.
Oh,
and
wow.
Do those still exist?
I don't know, Ken.
Well, I mean, we still do have some old reel-to-reel tapes of Joe Frank shows. Yeah, but they only exist on reel-to-reel. Nobody's really interested in reel-to-reel anymore.
Is there some kind of vault with all these classic reel-to-reel tapes? I mean, are they being kept and preserved?
Kinda. Elena can
There's
talk about
attic.
That.
There's an attic with tapes and
cassette
tapes.
Oh, Lord.
And I did see some.
But
real,
I mean, are they are they
are, Joe Frank.
Are they sealed? Are they packaged?
They're not sealed. There's no climate control. Nothing.
Oh no.
Well, Penny. No, there's climate control.
There is climate control.
Well, I mean, you know, they're in Monty Hall, and they're above the bathrooms, and you know, Monty Hall is heated in the winter and cooled in the summer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no Library of Congress, but you know.
Yeah, I'm wondering how did it happen that Joe Frank and also Alan Watts ended up being played on FMU? Because those were not almost the only shows that were not live.
Yeah, well, let's say goodbye to Evan because I don't think we have. Oh, Evan, you know we have another Evan on the air, right? Evan Davies?
Yeah, we've bonded over our name.
Great. So you might want to check out his show.
Yeah. And thanks for that point about Joe Frank tapes being under lock and key because I may use it in the book.
Hey, you made the book, Evan.
There
I've been babbling here for 47 minutes. She has yet to say I may use that in the book.
So we aired Alan Watts because in the 60s, stations all over the country were airing Alan Watts. We definitely were not alone. That was a very popular thing, you know, in the hippie days to air Alan Watts tapes. Joe Frank, let's see. I heard Joe Frank played on a station in Ann Arbor where I used to go to college and decided to bring him here. And KCRW cooperated with us, and they were very happy to have us carry him. That was when he was on staff at KCRW. After Joe Frank passed away, though, his estate became very protective about the tapes and would no longer allow us to air them.
Yeah, I think there's also, in the archives of FMU, there's an interview with Joe Frank at one of the shows, so you can do a search and listen to the interview.
Hey, yeah. If you guys have a minute, I'd like to ask each of you a question. Mm-hmm. What the hell am I doing here this week? What am I doing here right now?
You're dispensing zingers, baby.
Fine. And Professor, just remind us, how many people have you interviewed without calling me and asking for an interview? What was the number? I blanked on it. It was over 50. I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your own damn fault.
Yeah, it's my own damn fault.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hi there.
Who's this?
This is Sam the Appraiser.
Oh, hi, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
This is a regular caller.
Здравствуйте. Я хочу говорить с тобой.
Okay.
You're in America. Welcome to America.
Вопрос, пожалуйста, задайте.
I'm kind of an FMU institution of my own.
All right.
I was just wondering, one of the things I think is so interesting about WFMU, I mean, not only is it all listener supported, but the fundraising is actually a lot of fun. Like, it's I've never encountered fundraising that it was as entertaining and interesting. I was just wondering, have you found other places that have fundraising that's as joyful as WFMU?
I have not.
I never have.
I have not, but I also haven't been to any other fundraisers except for FMU. So it's best by the process of
not even like PBS or NPR.
Yeah.
No, nobody invited me to those.
Well, those are the least joyful fundraisers you're going to find.
In fact, our motto this year is we are 100% tote bag free.
I wish, but we have put out tote bags.
Well, we have our tote bags?
Yeah.
Dear God, Ken.
We have put out tote
bags. That's the end. That's it.
You want to know the secret?
Yeah, of good tote bags?
No, we don't call them tote bags.
What do you call them?
We call them record bags. That's how we get it. That's how we get around it.
My favorite part of that is Ken whispering.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sam's going to be running for president of 7 Second Delay in a couple of weeks.
Hey, we could do it next week.
For president?
Can I call that in?
I thought you wanted next week to be ladies speaking foreign languages about you.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be good. Yeah. That I can't wait. Hello. Hello, ladies. Shalom, ladies.
Hi, you're on the air.
Ken, Andy, Professor. Can't believe I got through.
Hi there.
Hi. Do you have a question for the professor?
Yeah, this is Levi.
Hi, Levi.
Hi, Levi.
Yeah, I've got a question. I'm curious about disgruntled listeners, if you've got any people that really just get mad at the station and are disgruntled and kind of like, you know, call and pester you and aggravate you and stuff.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a good question. I mean, I know that there were listeners who wrote angry letters to the station. I have some about Nahum Siegel not playing Jewish women musicians on his show. There are many, many angry letters in the late 80s about that. And then also I'm hoping FCC Archives will have some. But people trying to call the station and talk it out, how often does that happen?
Well, that doesn't happen much anymore. I mean, you know, the complaints that I get are, you know, a measure of the times. These days, complaints all come in by email.
Right.
Once upon a time, they all came in by letter or telephone.
I met a listener about a year and a half ago who was not disgruntled.
Huh.
He was very happy.
How did
with
that
the
go?
Station.
Yeah.
That's great.
No, it was very civil, very sweet. I didn't challenge him. You know, I mean, what's the point of challenging him?
Yeah.
You know, he enjoyed the station. He liked it. I'm not going to change his mind. When am I just going to have this argument? And we are at the Port Authority. I'm not going to just start screaming at him. He liked
you
the station.
You can't communicate with people like that.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
But I assume there's lots of letters to be found out there. I mean, probably they were destroyed by FMU DJs, but in some other archives.
Destroying them all.
No, yeah. I save them all. I have quite a file of crazy letters, complaint letters, crazy emails.
Bring those out.
I have a psycho folder.
Oh, my God.
I have a cease and desist folder.
Wouldn't you love access to that, Professor?
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
I actually was not told about that folder.
There you go. We've moved the needle.
Oh, my
God. We've moved
the
needle on this show.
I'll happily let you look through my psycho file. I have a digital psycho file and an analog psycho file.
Oh, wow.
But yes. those are crazy people, though. Those aren't the complaints.
That might be why Ken took the job. It's the easiest way to meet psychos.
Well, thanks, caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for calling. We're trying to figure out what I'm doing here this week.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Chris in the Redwoods.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris. Say
Hi,
hello.
Chris.
Say hello to the professor.
Hi there.
Hello, professor.
Hello.
I'm wondering if there's going to be a chapter on, or you know, if the listeners are going to be represented. I'm particularly curious about like gateway DJs and how people become, you know, they listen to one DJ, they tune into FMU to listen to one DJ, and then all of a sudden they're listening to all sorts of.
Yeah, that definitely, that particular subject will be covered. And what was your gateway DJ? Who was your gateway DJ?
Irwin.
Oh, cool.
Wait, what a great question. Who was your gateway DJ? So gateway in this sense is the way you defer to marijuana as a gateway drug.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I see.
So you listen to one DJ and then you gradually listen to the next show and then to the next show, and that's often that's one of the things people tell me. But you also have to understand that all of the DJs, most of the DJs at the station historically, they were first listeners. So I already interviewed a ton of listeners. And and I want to interview more people who just listen to the station and are fans. So
I had not ever listened to the station when I first showed
no
up.
No way.
And I came and I met Ken and we had a very nice meeting. And then on the way home, I tuned in 91.1, and this was me all the way home. What? What the hell? Nobody told me.
All right, thanks, caller. We're on with Professor Elena Rozlogova, who's writing a book about the history of WFMU.
I think we have time for one more call, right, Ken?
Yep. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
So, you guys were talking about gateway DJs. I was thinking about Sophisticated Boom Boom.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And it was strange because it was a multi-hour show, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's three hours.
And I just thought that was the best. And so I miss it. And keep going, FMU.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay.
I think he meant to say get going.
Elena, do you dare give out your email address on the air in case people want to follow up with you on anything?
Sure. If you want to tell me your gateway DJ, you can reach me at elena.raslogova@gmail.com.
And it's spelled just the way it sounds?
Yes, it is.
Why don't you take a minute and spell it for us?
ELENA.RAZLOGOVA.
That is how it sounds.
Exactly. That would have been my first guess. Well, boy, you've been great, and I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of the book.
And yeah. You are going to be interviewed, right, Andy?
Yes, and if the clerk's not watching carefully, I'll be able to get it home and read it at my leisure.
Okay,
and
well, if you...
Even though you're moving to Toronto next week?
I'll be in Toronto on and off. Hey, wait, you're in Canada?
I'm in Canada. I'm going to come to Toronto.
Yeah, right. Toronto. I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, you guys can meet in Sudbury.
After she's talked to every DJ and every listener, she'll get to me.
You promise to be nice?
What?
Do you promise to be nice when...
I would make that promise, but we're out of time, Ken. We just don't have the time
no,
for me
have
to sit here
minutes.
And make promises.
We have 2 minutes. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Thank you to Jeremiah for the newsletter.
Hey, Professor, real quick, you've been great. What's it been like here the last hour? I mean, you've been writing about the station, listening to the station. Has this been a revelation?
It's been a revelation, yes. It's a completely different thing to be on the other side of the microphone.
Has it been a positive experience?
Of course.
Yeah, right. Of course. That's a long way from yes. Of course.
And Andy, when can Elena interview you?
Oh, we're gonna get together. We're gonna make it happen.
I know you're fleeing the country. So.
I'm actually a terrible interviewer. I always kind of clam up. I feel very self-conscious, very inarticulate.
Okay.
And but I'd be happy to try.
That's all right.
I mean, if Ken can do it, I think I can.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that I interviewed Ken 4 times, so
oh,
I can
did?
Interview you 4 times as well.
You know, when you interview me, it's going to be a lot of this. What did Ken say about that?
All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Elena, thanks for coming all the way down for tonight's show.
Thanks for having me.
Little Danny is filling in for Matt Fiveash on Weekly World Blues tonight. Stay tuned.
Baltimore, Ohio, took a look at the mercury, 40 below. No time for a lady to be dragging her feathers around. She flew straight to the Tanzania, where a two-timing blackbird met the divine Miss O. I'd like to ruffle its plumage, this Baltimore Oreo. Messed around with that blackbird till he singed her wings, but forgiving is easy. It's a woman like now and then might have been the same. Please send her back home, but alone Home ain't home without a warbling. How she'd sing, make a lonely man happy. Baltimore Oreo.
I got a hole in the wall, got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door.
To my lovely baby's door.
She need me bad, I can find about two or three more.
One, two, many more.
I could come through the chimney like Santa Claus, go through the window and that ain't all. A lot of good ways I don't want you to know. I even got a hole in a bedroom floor, got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door.
To my lovely baby's door.
She need me bad, I can find about two or three more. closet behind her clothes, a way through the attic that no one knows, a master key to fit any lock, a hidden door behind Grandpa's clock. Got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door.
To my lovely baby's door.
If she need me bad, I can find about two or three more.
One, two, many more.
To my lovely baby's door.
Oh, to my lovely baby's door.
Oh, baby.
To my lovely baby's door. To my lovely baby's door. To my lovely baby's door.
Tuesday I was trying to judge about me guilty, and I hung my head and cried, Lord, and cried, Lord, and cried, Lord, and cried, Lord, and cried. Pick your shovel without your brown coal mine, coal mine.